Once again, as our Lord gathered with his disciples, you must remember they were gathering to observe the Passover, which reminded them of the redemption from Egypt. He took the elements from the Passover table and gave them new significance, the bread and the cup. Listen as I read to you. The scripture says, "And he took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it and gave it to them and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me.'" And so this morning, I'd like for us to take this bread, and as we partake of it together, we remember that this is a picture of his body, which he took to the cross for our redemption. Let's eat together.
Well, we're at the part of the supper now that brings our attention to the cup. And I always try to put myself somewhat back in the story and try to imagine the disciples, as they had gathered with Jesus, they didn't know all that we know. In fact, we know that because when Jesus was resurrected, the stone rolled away a few days later. We know that the disciples weren't gathered there. Had they really understood, I think they would have been right there. So we know that when the disciples gathered at what we call now communion or the Lord's Supper, they really didn't know. Now, there was some idea that something very special was happening. I can imagine the tension was high. I can imagine that, you know, something here is very, very special, because it was the Passion Week, and so much was, in fact, shortly after the supper, you see a lot of things begin to unfold and their understanding begins to open up. But try to put yourself back with the disciples. And think about it now as believers, and many of us have been believers for a long time, and we've been to this supper, we've been to this table so many times that I think sometimes we look at this as normal. But this is not normal. We're looking at a cup that symbolizes blood. I thought about that all this week. I was thinking about, if somebody were to come into this place that maybe come from another planet somewhere, had never heard anything about God or the Bible or anything, what would they think? We're here talking about a cup that symbolizes blood. This is a strange group of people. You think about that. This blood represents violence. You know, the violent, first of all, the violent death that we know that was about to come to the life of Christ as he hung on the cross. And I think, as Pastor Jerry so well said, it's to remember, and let us remember. There was a violent, violent death. Jesus did not die an easy death. We sometimes, I think, because of the way that we do forget, and sometimes the way we paint the story of Christ, that it seems so pleasant sometimes. And so we almost like we're in a children's storybook, and it was so, you know, fun and exciting, but there was nothing easy about what Jesus went through for us. This represents violence. And I thought back, not just the violent act of Christ and what it took for him to purchase our redemption, and I'll get back to that, but you go all the way back in scriptures. In fact, the best I could tell, probably the first violent act in the earth was found in Genesis chapter 3, after the turning away, Adam and Eve turned their back on God. And ultimately, that's what sin is. And I want all of us to understand what sin is today, because maybe you're here today and you've never properly dealt with sin. And I would just want you to know that all of us are sinners. But sin is not the listing off of things, you know, that we think of as actions and words or attitudes, but sin is ultimately a rebellion against God. This is why it took such a violent act to make everything right, because sin itself is a violent act against God. It's an insurrection. It's a rebellion. You might, and all of us might want to think the very best of ourselves, but we are rebels at heart. The Bible teaches us that we have all gone astray, that we have, none of us seek after God. You think, well, I'm not such a bad person, but who are you comparing yourself with? We're sinners. Sinners who have committed the most atrocious crimes. We might point our fingers at the world, but yet we should look in the mirror, because we have committed the most heinous crime, and that we have rebelled against God. And that's all of us. Each and every one of us have rebelled against God. So I think back, and I said Genesis chapter 3 probably is the first violent act and shedding of blood. And it's found in verse 21 where God slew innocent animals to provide a covering for Adam and Eve after they had turned their back on him. Those animals did nothing wrong, but it was to set a precedent and, if you will, a picture of the remaining pages of Scripture and throughout all redemptive time, that from that moment on, the innocent would be violently taken for the sake, the innocent would be violently taken for the guilty. And we're in a room full of guilty, from myself to the back of the room. We are in a room full of guilty people. And it took, you know, think back through all the history of Scripture, all the thousands of animals that were taken to the temple, and every animal that was slain. And if you've ever been in the Middle East or parts of Asia, you'll still see a lot of sacrifices going on. And you'll see the violent, I mean, you know, I've seen these sacrifices with my own eyes, and it's a violent thing when the life of an innocent animal is taken in hopes of redemption. And so I think back of all through history, this cup represents so much violence because such a horrible crime had been committed. And so all through the pages of Scripture, and we're not going to take the time to look at that, but one of the most celebratory announcements, and I've preached this so many times, but it still makes my heart race a little bit when I think about it. And I've actually stood there and the shore, the bank, if you will, of the Jordan River, where perhaps John the Baptist stood and looked up and he saw Jesus. And the Spirit of God revealed to him a wonderful truth, and he announced, and John, it says, that behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And already, John, I could just think about, you know, we miss that sometimes because all their life they had looked for a Redeemer so that this endless sacrifices could be brought to an end. And now it would. This is why we as believers today, we don't partake in animal sacrifices. We don't bring animals to the altar today, because God's perfect lamb has been poured out. And so I think about that announcement that John made. It was an exciting announcement. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And I realize today that we have so complicated religion, complicated the message of God. But if there's something that we need to remember today, and I think we do, is that salvation, the rescue plan of God for us, is not found in a church or in a baptism or in a religion or memorizing of something or of a good work, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. This represents the most merciful act. And a loose translation of the word mercy here would be the kindness of God. Never a kinder act has ever been extended to us. So as we think about this cup, three things I think it does. It looks back, as Pastor Jerry said, that the people of God are to always look back. We could go all the way back, as I said, to Genesis and look at the plan of God unfolding and the violent acts of blood which are poured out on behalf of sinful man. But it wasn't just a looking back in the past, but to where we are today. Paul said when he was giving the communion or Lord's table, he said, examine yourself. So it's not just looking back, but look today. Where are you today? It's so important. You know, this is one thing as a pastor for many years I have emphasized so much, that don't take this lightly. Do you know that people, and that, this is not a threat, but people have died. The Bible says that people have died for partaking of this lightly. Like it was some kind of a religious thing that had no real meaning. This is the most deep, meaningful thing to us as believers. Nothing could be more profound than to look at a cup that represents the blood that was poured out for our sins. So I would say to you today, not just to look back, to look in your heart right now, in the present, that your heart is right. And before we partake of this cup, if there's something in your life right now that needs to be confessed to God, then I beg of you, confess it to God. Do not take this lightly. In fact, I would go so far as to say that if you are not ready for this, don't take it at all. This is not just a meaningless practice that we do in the church, but this is a very deep and profound activity that looks not just at the past, but looks at the present. But I like what Paul said as he loosely paraphrased what Jesus said in 1 Corinthians. He said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so now we look to the future, not just to remember the past or to look at the present, but now we look to the future. And indeed, Jesus is coming. Make no mistake about it. Jesus is coming. And I know that people scoff at that. And as the Bible even says, you know, people would say, you know, where's the promise of his coming? Oh, it's there. You know, I thought about the other day as we were coming up the road, and really it was a very apocalyptic scene that we saw, and nothing near, I think, what will be like when the Lord returns. But to be standing actually next to my car on Interstate 75 and watching the chaos unfold and looking at floodwaters around us and all the things going on and seeing homes that have been destroyed, and I thought, wow, I pray that you're ready for this. Because the coming of the Lord is soon. If you can't see, you know, the world says there's no God, but I'll tell you what, who is the man that could stop that storm that came? God, from time to time, displays his power in ways that defy explanation. And, you know, and I know there's so much that we could talk about that, but I'm just telling you that we should be fearful of a God who could exercise such power and then pull it back at a moment's time. As we prayed that maybe the storm would not hit us, but you know that wherever the storm would turn, it would hit somebody. It's a terrible position to be put in as a believer. Who do you pray for? I'm ready to go, but is that next person maybe further south or more north of us, are they ready to go? It's a terrible place, right, to be put in. And so as we take this cup today, don't just look back. Don't just look into your heart, but look ahead. Jesus is coming. And there's one final thing that I'd like to say about the cup before we take it. It's still here. It's still available. Maybe somebody here today needs to apply the blood. That is, to receive it for themselves. You know, because we're all born separated from God by our sin, and the Bible says we've all gone astray. And like I said, I don't care what church background you come from or what religion you cling to. Trust me, when the end comes, holding on to your religion is not a very good lifeboat. You better have the blood over your sin. So how? I'm so glad that Jesus made it simple. Oh, I love this because I've preached it 1,000 times or more. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this symbolizes for us as believers what God has done for us, but it also symbolizes for those who may not have received it yet that there's still an offering. It's still here. It's still available. But I can't help but think also, there's billions of people in the world today that have yet to receive this. Let us not allow our vision to become short. You know, you send us to Guyana, but I pray that God would never let my vision be for just Guyana. Because there's a world full of people that need the blood of Jesus Christ. I love the song that y'all sang. I love because it's so simple. The truth is so wonderful that we don't glory in ourselves. We don't promote ourselves. But we preach a message of, it's a bloody message, yes, and it's a violent message. But I know that I am guilty of the most heinous crime of all, of my rebellion against God. And the only thing that could rescue me was the blood of God's only Son. So please today, don't rely on your religion. But call upon Christ and let His blood be a payment for your sin. And that is the one thing that you can trust as we look forward to the Lord's return. So if you take the cup now with me, as Jesus offered it to His disciples, I offer it together with us as we take the cup and we partake of it. Father, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, that You loved us so much that You would send Your Son to die such a horrible, bloody death because we are criminals of the worst sort. But now, through Your blood, we are set free. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I would like to mention something because we're going to miss them. Okay. This is the McCormick family right here. And I got word this week that, you know, they are out of town in Tennessee some and travel. But then they're back here. You got tears in your eyes. From the bottom of our hearts, we're going to miss you guys. Amen. All of you. Yeah. They have made a decision. They will be traveling for a while, but then they are going to permanently locate up in Tennessee somewhere. Not sure exactly where. They have some ideas. But that was mentioned to me. The dad's back there at the back. But anyway, thank you for being so faithful and being such a blessing to our church. And hope you come see us from time to time. She's nodding her head. Okay. Now, Greg mentioned a verse in Scripture where it says we are to do this, that is, partake of the bread and partake of the cup, until He comes. So I always like to finish the Lord's Supper service with a song about Him coming. And Lee is going to lead us in Christ Returneth. Now look, this is the kind of song that you can just sing out on. And that one, yeah, you can come, Lee. That one verse we'll get to, you know, should we go without dying? You know, no sickness, no sadness, no suffering. Wouldn't that be great that we don't have to die physically, but the Lord would come in our generation?